This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good afternoon. You are listening to Live and Learn. I'm Lee Chui Lin. While the need for more affordable housing remains a pressing matter, the issue of public low-cost flats and their maintenance is often left out of the debate. Lack of safety measures and poor hygiene standards are just two of several factors which contribute to deplorable living conditions. Bukit Gasing State Assemblyman Rajiv Vishakaran is back for his monthly show on local government and explains what we can do about it. Welcome to the show, Rajiv.
Hi, thanks for having me back.
Let's talk about the definition of a low-cost flat. What falls within that?
The official definition in Selangor is properties that cost 42,000 ringgit or less. So this would make up the low-cost flats. Typically, they're around 500 to about 650 square feet. Over time, it got a bit bigger in size, thankfully. Most of the newer ones are 650 square feet in size. They have about 3 bedrooms. One or two bathrooms. So that would be a typical low-cost flat.
And while that is what, you know, is a typical and perhaps ideal low-cost flat, the reality is that when you look around, you do see dirty lifts, rotting rubbish, corroded railings. Why is cleanliness such a problem at low-cost flats?
All right, maybe before we go into that, we should look at also the ownership of our low-cost flats. So in Malaysia, we have a few categories of ownership. So the first one, and I think this will be important for the discussion as we go down the conversation today, is the government-owned ones, those PPR units. And these flats are owned by the government. They rent them out to the residents at a very subsidized rate, some at 124 ringgit a month, some at 250 ringgit a month, basically targeting the really poor, the single mothers within our community. But these form the minority of low-cost flats that we see. The bulk of the low-cost flats are actually privately owned low-cost flats. They still have some restriction in ownership, as in the government controls the sale of these units. Not everyone can walk in to a developer and buy the unit. But these homes are basically built by private developers like Sime Darby and so on, and they are sold to private buyers who then own the property in a similar fashion that you and anyone else would own any other property out there. So this makes up the bulk of flats. And the third one is flats that may look like low-cost flats on the outside, but actually are not in the category of low-cost flats. Because earlier I mentioned the definition of less than 42,000 ringgit. So we have some flats known as medium-cost flats. They cost more than that at the original purchase price. They are larger than the 650 square feet size. They could be 750, 800, 850 square feet in size. So they technically do not fall in the definition of a low-cost flats, although externally and maybe even internally they may look the same as a low-cost flat. So the government treats these three categories quite differently. And if we want to look at why these flats are facing the problems they fall into, also once again, the different sets. With regards to government-owned flats, the onus is on the respective governments to maintain the flats. And this is where governments, federal, state and local governments all can do a much better job than what they're doing now in maintaining those flats. But when it comes into the private flats, the onus actually falls on the owners, because all the owners form together a joint management body to manage the flats, similar to how every condominium has their own joint management body that maintains the flats. Then the burden falls on this joint body, which is made up by all the owners, to appoint employees or to employ a managing company to look after the flats. And this is where I think we have a structural problem, where many low-cost flats are unable to carry this out. And because they are unable to form this body, they are unable to appoint a company to manage or to hire employees to manage, things just go downhill from there. And what looked like a brand new flat in the beginning slowly becomes a decaying situation like what you just described.
We're speaking about low-cost flats, specifically the maintenance of low-cost flats today. If you have a question for Rajiv Vishakaran, Bukit Gasing State Assemblyman, do give us a call. That number is 03-7710-9000. You can also text us at 016-201-9000 or tweet us at BFM Radio. So in September, the Urban Wellbeing, Housing and Local Government Ministry announced that it'll foot maintenance bills for low-cost flats nationwide with an annual allocation of 140 million ringgit, which means that the 10% mandatory contribution from residents will also no longer be a requirement. Was this good news?
I would say that I have not seen that trickle down, at least not in Petaling Jaya. And this is nice. This kind of nice announcements that we see from time to time must also be reflected on the ground. And it cannot be only in politically 50-50 seats or, you know, in Barisan control areas that the money flows down. It should be fairly set, fairly divided, fairly given out in all areas, and including in Selangor, that is probably where the bulk of low-cost flats in this country are in. So that's actually something that we've not seen in reality on the ground, and especially not in Petaling Jaya in my area.
If we look at the past and where funds have been allocated, you know, it's usually been for sort of one-time, one-off improvements, you know, paint jobs, new playgrounds. How can these initiatives be made to be more sustainable?
I think the key to making them more sustainable is to have a proper managing agent, you know, so someone or a body or a person that is actually committed towards maintaining these flats in a good condition, constantly round the clock. We cannot have flats deteriorate and then we do a one-off improvement project. So we paint it all up, we replace the railings, we make it look nice and new again. Then we let it fall into a state of disrepair over the next 5 years, and then we pump in money again and repair it. I really don't think this is the way to go. Yes, there are government grants that are used from time to time to paint up these flats, to repair these lifts, but oftentimes this comes in only when things get so bad, you know, when the situation becomes so dire that this money comes in. So we need to change the way the managements of these flats run the day-to-day activities. They need to have sufficient amount of money for their monthly maintenance to make sure that cleanliness is kept up, to make sure that all kinds of servicing is done regularly, that you don't have things deteriorating to a level. So, you know, one of the biggest problems for low-cost flats is lifts. Now, if you don't engage the lift company to do regular preventive maintenance, we're going to get faulty lifts down the road. So, but in order to save money, or because it just simply is no money, a lot of these flats do not do regular preventive maintenance. It's fine in the first year. The lifts get away with it. But, you know, 6 years down the road, suddenly all the lifts are breaking down. But if we do proper preventive maintenance from day one, then we will not come to that situation where all the lifts are breaking down. And suddenly we need millions of ringgit to fix them. So then we go and beg the government, and government has to find a way to bail these flats out. So this is, to me, not a sustainable way.
If we look at you know, those categories of low-cost flats that you mentioned earlier, right, is there a sort of standardized mode of management, or does it truly depend on who's in charge?
It really depends, because if you look at the government-owned ones, the PPR flats, now these are managed by government units. So Lembaga Perumahan and Hartanah Selangor, the Selangor government unit, they have a subsidiary that looks into the maintenance of these buildings. So they have an annual budget and they have to make do with that budget to upkeep the place. But this is, once again, the minority of low-cost flats that we actually see. For the rest of it, it's because the onus is on the joint management committee to decide how they want to manage the flats. And most of the time, they're unable to get the sufficient support of the owners in the building. So even if, let's say, 10 owners are very interested, you know, and they want to do something about the building, but the other 300 owners of that building are not interested. They don't care. They don't pay their maintenance. They don't attend meetings. They don't attend the AGM. Things don't move. Things don't take off. And that's where buildings fall into a state of disrepair. So for low-cost flats, it's particularly challenging. Now, if you talk about high-end condominiums, sure, the owners are they do play a more active role. They take part. So a joint management body by the owners works well. And in fact, even in Singapore, where we visited, you know, if you talk about private condominiums, the higher end properties, it operates in the same way. You know, you've got a joint management committee by the owners that run things. And that's fine for higher end properties. But when you talk about low cost flats, this model, in my opinion, does not work. And if you look around the Klang Valley, we'll find a few exceptions, no doubt. But the vast majority of low-cost flats, they just can't get their act together to get all the owners to come together to agree on, okay, we'll pay 50 ringgit a month so we can have enough money in the pool to hire cleaners, to take care of our electrical system, to take care of our water system, to take care of our lifts and so on.
We have a phone call from Ahmad. Good afternoon, Ahmad.
Hey, good afternoon.
Yeah.
You have a question?
Yeah, I have a question. In fact, my question is just being discussed here. But I think my question is, what is the government doing about formulating some policies to ensure that the residents subscribe and pay duly their maintenance fee so that the JMB or joint management can manage the place? If this policy is implemented, then you can never get it done because some pay, some don't pay. 50% don't pay, then you can never get it. You'll fall into disrepute, you know. So it's a policy. How do we enforce? It's just an income tax, you know. Everybody pay income tax. But if some decided not to pay and all that, then there's no money to develop the country or no money to maintain the place.
Exactly. You know, that is the crux of the issue. If you get 50% to pay, like what you mentioned, I think things would be so much better. But the problem is you can't even get 10% of people to pay in a lot of the low-cost flats that we have. Even here in Petaling Jaya, where the low-cost flats worth much more. You know, in fact, in my area, in Section 17, the low-cost flats can cost about 200,000 ringgit. You still have more than 80% of owners not paying their monthly maintenance bill. So this is something that I hope the Minister of Housing takes into account, because the Strata Title Act is actually something that is under the purview of the federal government. We need to make it easier to bring the defaulting owners to court and for a speedy action where they will be given a fine or some sort of punishment to create an incentive for everyone else to pay their maintenance. Currently, joint management bodies have to take the defaulting owners by civil action to court. So this is very costly, very time-consuming, and is a disincentive for these committees to actually drag their fellow neighbours to court. Whereas if the government steps in and starts prosecuting non-payment defaulters, I think things will definitely improve very fast. So this is something for the Ministry of Housing to step up to improve the scenario.
I'm speaking today with Rajiv Rishikaran, Bukit Gasing State Assemblyman. We're discussing the maintenance of low-cost flats. Coming up, we find out what we can learn from our neighbouring country, Singapore, and how they manage their HDBs. You are listening today to Live and Learn. If you have a question on the subject, if you'd like to ask a question, as Ahmad just did, do give us a call. That number is 0377109000. You can also text 0162019000 or tweet us at BFM Radio.
Bruce Freddie Morrissey, BFM 89.9.
Good afternoon. This is Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture. I'm Lee Chui Lin. In the studio with me today, Bukit Gasing State Assemblyman Rajiv Rishikaran, here for his monthly show on local government, and we're talking about the maintenance of low-cost flats. Now, we've talked about you and your colleagues in a select committee, I think, on recent shows as well.
Yes.
And you visited Singapore to learn about how their HDB and town councils are managed. What did you take away from that trip?
Well, actually, the last few months, we've been consistently talking about our select committee. In June, for the listeners who were not with us the last few shows, in June, a number of us from the Selangor State Assembly went down to Singapore to look at a number of aspects of how they do things over there, to see what lessons we can learn and improve here in Selangor. And one of the things that we looked into is the management of low-cost housing or government housing. Now, Singapore's HDB system cannot be classified as low-cost housing because you've got a much wealthier class of residents living there. But basically, that is the nearest comparison to what we have, because that's public housing that is where it's for the poorest Singaporeans, even though the middle class also do live there. And we want to see how they manage their system so that they, and how it is that HDB flats in Singapore are much cleaner, much more livable compared to the low-cost flats that we have here. So we produce a report on this. It's one of the four reports that we talked about. We've earlier talked about town planning. We've talked about rubbish and roads. So the fourth one is on the low-cost flats. And the biggest difference that we can see between Singapore's system and our system is that town councils in Singapore are responsible for managing the low-cost flats or the HDB flats. The town council is responsible for cleaning, for the maintenance of the landscape, the infrastructure, the lifts, the water tanks, the rubbish chutes, and every other common facility that there is in the HDB flats. This is a very different scenario from Malaysia, where the low-cost housings, low-cost flats are managed by the residents themselves. So we see a scenario where, on one hand, we've got the owners trying to manage it in Malaysia, and in rare instances, the owners are able to come together to do so. And hats off to those flats, like the ones in Damansara Damai that have managed to do that. But in a lot of other cases, the vast majority that I've seen is that majority of the owners are too probably preoccupied with their jobs, their other personal challenges that they have in life, that they're not able to devote time and energy and attention into managing the building. And in Singapore, the owners are not doing this. The owners do have a duty to pay their monthly dues, just as how owners in Malaysia have a responsibility to pay their monthly dues. But the town council, the government in essence, is the one that is taking the responsibility to make sure that your corridors are swept, that the lifts are running in good order, the rubbish chute works, the grass around the apartment is well cut, the trees are trimmed, the playground equipment is in good condition, and so on. And that is something which I think, and we have proposed, the group of us that went to Singapore, we have come back and we've written this report. We have proposed that the Selangor government look into going down this road. Now, the transition will be a very expensive and difficult transition because there is a financial burden in managing these flats. But I think this is something necessary. Now, for the well-being of the bottom 40% in our society, I think that there's really no other way forward than for government to take over the management of these flats.
Well, the Select Committee recommends that we have an MP or a State Assembly person to head our town councils, which would mirror the system that you just described. What kinds of shaking up, I suppose, would be needed for that to actually happen?
I think that is something that some of my fellow committee members felt was important to put in the picture. The great distinction that is there when you have an elected member heading the town council is that there's a direct accountability to your voters, which is your residents, which is the people who are staying in these flats. Now, town councils around the world, local councils, town councils around the world, all have elected heads. In Australia, in UK, in fact, in Saudi Arabia, they just concluded local government elections very recently, a couple of days ago. Malaysia is a very unique situation where our mayors, our council presidents, are not elected. They are actually civil servants appointed into that position. So what I think what is more important to stress is that the position of the head of the town council should be elected. Now, Singapore has a different way, quite a unique way in this world, where the member of parliament also becomes the head of the town council. We don't have to go down that road. We don't have to appoint our members of parliament as heads of our respective local councils. But I think what is crucial is that the head of the local council should be elected. Now, that's something I've always been calling for, local government elections. And I think most of the listeners who are tuned in to this show today, also of the same view that we need to get local government elections in place. Now, this is very crucial to ensure the sensitivity of government to the plight of the people.
Would it cost more money for the Selangor State Government to take over the management of low-cost flats?
Most definitely, and especially in the transition process. Now, if I can elaborate a bit more on this. At the point of transition, you know, we've got a backlog of maintenance to do. Let's just take any one building. There may be a lack of maintenance on the lifts. There may be a lack of maintenance on the water pumps that has been going on for the last 5 to 10 years. So the first one-off expenditure will definitely be there to bring the building up to code. That once the building is up to code, then it is about collecting the monthly dues effectively from the residents. This is where we cannot continue to survive on 10-20% of the people paying for the maintenance of the building. There needs to be sufficient improvement in law, which is Parliament's job, so that we can easily collect the dues from every owner of every owner of the flats, so that there is sufficient money to have regular preventive maintenance every month to keep the building in good shape. Now, I'm confident that we can maintain the building in good shape once we get it up to speed, up to code. I mean, so the transition would be expensive. And I don't expect the Selangor government to take over all the low-cost flats in Selangor one shot. I think you got to do it one development at a time. But if we start somewhere, I think in the over the next 5 to 10 years, we can slowly get to a place when we are able to absorb all the flats into the system, where town councils or maybe even a third-party body, you know, another government body can be created solely to manage these low-cost flats. It's not too crazy an idea to have another body, to another unit within the Selangor government to manage these low-cost flats, because we have a lot and a lot of low-cost flats within the Klang, especially within the Klang Valley.
We're speaking about the maintenance of low-cost flats today. If you have a question for Rajivishakaran, do give us a phone call. That number is 0377109000. You can also text us at 0162019000 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, the Select Committee, another one of their recommendations, is that a low-cost flat be priced so that the monthly installments do not exceed 25% of a household's income. Is this realistic?
Yes, I believe it's realistic. And this is not so much to the low-cost flats that we have now, but our Rumah Selangorku projects. This is for our affordable housing projects. It also reflects on the Prima projects by the federal government. Low-cost housing and medium-cost housing, affordable housing, whatever it is, we've got to create sufficient categories of houses that cater to the different levels of income in our society, so that no household has to pay more than 25% of their income towards owning their home. Now, if they are in a situation where they have to pay 50, 60% of their income, that really will put them in a very tight position for all the other expenses that they would have to incur, you know, utilities, traveling, groceries, food, education for their children, and even entertainment. So we've got to create systems where no matter which income bracket you are in, you are able to own a decent home within 25% of your salary.
Having said that, if you drive by any low-cost flat, you notice the numerous satellite dishes for pay TV on the facade. It's a very common sight. Some flats come with the stipulation that these dishes should not be installed, especially for tenants that owe rent. Where do you stand on this?
I don't think it's right to say that, you know, residents in the bottom 40% should be deprived of entertainment. I think that's not quite fair, and it's creating such an expectation that anyone who's poor shall not be entitled to entertainment is not quite the system we want to create. However, I think where this question may come in is for the hardcore poor that are receiving maybe government handouts on a monthly basis. This is one way to evaluate. Now, if you are claiming that you are only earning less than 500 ringgit a month, you need welfare aid to feed your family, it doesn't make sense. Your claim may not make sense, or there may not be that much truth in your claim. If you can afford a car and you can afford Astro, then maybe you've got a question, are you really earning 500 ringgit a month? But with regards to quality of life, I think we've got to create systems where even though you are in the bottom 40% in society, even though you're only earning 1,800 ringgit a month in your household, maybe husband and wife combined, that you are still able to live a decent, comfortable life. You may not live a luxurious life, but you must not be living a life of suffering. I think that's absolutely crucial for government to adjust our systems. Now, one of the things is housing. You know, housing shouldn't cost too much for the poor. Transportation should be made available so the poor can move around without having to incur the additional burden of vehicle maintenance or the need to own a vehicle or the need to take taxis. A lot of people that live in low-cost flats today, if you were to just go and observe the low-cost flats, you know, nearby your house, you know, wherever you live, in Subang, in PJ or so on, you will see people taking taxis very often because public transport is inadequate. Now, this puts strains on them. So I would say that I hope we come to a point where they all can afford some form of entertainment. They should be able to choose if Astro is the entertainment that they want, or if, you know, other forms of entertainment is what they want. But I would feel better if all Malaysians, even the poorest among us, can afford some sort of entertainment.
When we were talking earlier about, you know, this idea of trying to understand who qualifies for what. I think that's one of the more contentious issues when it comes to low-cost housing. Who is eligible to buy low-cost flats? And further from that, how do you ensure that it is those people who are in fact making the purchase?
The rules have already been placed for quite some time. So with regards to low-cost flats, combined income of 2,500 ringgit per household, that is husband and wife combined together if both are working. And it's a matter of enforcement, where the officers who are processing these applications need to be able to do their jobs well to ensure that only qualified buyers buy it. Another requirement is that you must not own any other property. So this is your first property. If you already have two terrace houses and you go and apply for a low-cost flat, no, you should not be the one to get it. Somebody else who's more in need should get to buy it.
Is it illegal for low-cost flats to be rented out?
That's actually a very good question. And I've actually spent time asking around and looking for bits and pieces of law that may actually shed some light on this. But as far as I can, and I qualify this, if anyone would like to dispute this, we can have a good, healthy debate on this. There is no legislation at the moment to say you cannot rent out your flats. So technically, legally speaking, yes. Owners of low-cost flats can rent out their flats.
Which kind of brings us to an interesting point about liability. I think when you rent out, you know, that point about liability because you don't own the house becomes a matter. And in January this year, a four-year-old boy fell to his death at a low-cost flat in Kota Damansara. He's not the first. He's unfortunately not likely to be the last. When a case like this happens, are local councils liable?
I think we have to look at, if you want to look at liability, then we have to look at very specific cases. Now, in the case that you just mentioned, it was not a privately owned low-cost flat. It was actually a PPR unit, a government housing unit. So in which case, the government is responsible for the upkeep of that building. So in that case, back then, MPPJ was the one that was in charge of maintaining it. Although now, since the incident, the responsibility of maintaining that flat, that particular development in Kota Damansara, has been transferred to the Selangor State Government. And I hear that there has been some improvements, but there's still a lot of room for further improvements into how we manage things so that it does not happen again. But if let's say that particular building was a privately owned low-cost flat, then it would be on the joint management body's responsibility to maintain the building, to make sure that the railings were in good order, to make sure that other aspects of the building were safe. And this is something that, once again, I think a lot of individual buildings do not have the capacity to constantly check and make sure that these things are in order. And this is why I once again come back to my earlier conviction that government needs to step in and government needs to take over the maintenance and management of these flats.
While we're talking about government, you referenced the Rumah Selangor Ku project just now. How's that going?
That's going well. We've actually seen projects taking off and a number of launches have come into place since Dato Sri Azmin Ali took over as Menteri Besar of Selangor. So I'm pleased that that's moving forward. We've got a lot of projects being launched and a lot more down the pipeline. And I believe the Selangor government can hit their target of 35,000 houses by 2018. So I'm excited about that, but I'm once again concerned about the maintenance. You know, this is what we've been talking all day today, that these units are still very new. They are still at the starting infancy stage, but we need to make sure that we've put in place good management from day one so that the building doesn't deteriorate and does not come to a state of disrepair that makes it very difficult to maintain down the road. In the last State Assembly sitting, I've also raised other concerns with regards to all the affordable housing, not just Rumah Selangor Ku, but any other affordable housing scheme, is that we've got to put in great care at the design stage to make sure that we design buildings that are easy to maintain down the road. Because ultimately, the burden of maintaining these buildings down the road will fall upon the residents. Even if government manages it, the money still comes from taxpayers. It still comes from your monthly dues, still comes from the people. The money does not drop from the sky. So it is absolutely crucial in designing these flats, these apartments, that we take great care to design apartments that are easy to maintain, that are affordable to maintain, and will not incur an unnecessarily high management cost. We're talking about 30 years down the road, not just the first 5, 10 years, but, you know, 30 years down the road. When you need to change wirings after 25 years, when you need to change the pipings after 25 years, is it easy to do so? Will it be very expensive to do so? And the answers to this all lie in the design stage. So this is something that we need to take to the next level to look at the design of buildings.
And we have a phone call here from Vikran. Good afternoon, Vikran. Good afternoon, Vikran. Have you got a question?
Hi, good afternoon. Lynn?
Yes.
Yes, hi, Lynn. Okay, I don't have a question, but I have some suggestions for Mr. Rajesh. Okay, basically what you're discussing here is facilities management. And one of the most important things in facilities management is to improvise the welfare of the user. It can be any sort of an asset. It can be a home, can be an equipment or an aircon unit as well. Okay, my suggestion is two. One, you could slightly increase the rent and explain to the users why we are increasing the rent. Okay, and the second thing is you could call upon your supply chain providers. Okay, tell them to exercise their CSR by contributing into the maintenance for all the low-cost homes. We understand that the occupants or the tenants of the low-cost home are the low-income bracket, so we can't expect much. But what the society could return, especially from the supply chain management, is a little contribution to improvise their livelihood. So this is my suggestions to him.
All right. Thank you very much for the suggestions.
Thanks, Vikran.
Okay. So with regards to the second suggestion, I think that will definitely become more of a key point. If government starts to take over the maintenance, then that's where we have a bigger bargaining power and a bigger ability to maybe explore that suggestion of roping in CSR initiatives from companies. But with regards to the first one, that is something that is already ongoing, where a lot of low-cost flats are in recent years starting to raise their maintenance fees to cope with it. You know, I myself, a few months ago, had dialogues with the residents in the PKNS flats in Section 17, at least among the owners who were interested to turn up for these dialogues, to discuss with them, because the 15 ringgit a month that they were paying for maintenance was definitely not enough to do the most basic of maintenance for their building. And so we talked about how other flats are paying around the region around 45 ringgit a month, that is to get the basic services done, and how if we were going to keep things sustainable, that we really have to increase the 15 ringgit, which was a price decades ago, to a price that is more reflective of today's costs, somewhere around 45 to 50 ringgit. And largely, I can say that those who are willing to attend and listen and discuss these matters can understand and can accept such reasoning. A lot of these owners also realize that their rent has gone up. A lot of the owners are actually renting it out, and they realize that, you know, once upon a time they could only get 200 ringgit a month, and now they can even get up to 700 ringgit a month renting out this flat. So increasing your maintenance from 15 ringgit to 50 ringgit, it's a small fraction of the rent that they collect. And in doing so, we can actually make the maintenance sustainable in the long run, because you collect what you need to look after the building. And that will not be too great a financial burden on the government that we talked about earlier, so that the government can take over this flat to provide expertise management and thus, you know, all round provide a better quality of life for all the residents in such buildings. So I strongly believe most of them can accept. Now, there will be a small category of people that will be unable to afford the increase. They could be maybe a couple who's on pension. Their children are not living with them, and they are living on a small pension of 600-700 ringgit a month, and increasing the maintenance fees to 50 ringgit a month will hurt them. And I think that's where the welfare department can come in to assist in those very special, very specific cases, which are the minority, not the majority of the cases of low-cost flats out there.
And very quickly, because unfortunately we were running out of time, what would your final message be on low-cost flats and their maintenance?
I think, first of all, I would I would like society, you know, as we move forward, to let's change the branding of low cost flats, because it gives a very bad impression or bad connotation to those properties. What Singapore has done is another lesson for us when they call it HDB flats instead of low cost housing. I think that will be one crucial step. And so, how we have done the Rumah Selangorku branding. Even though there are four categories of different prices of houses, that's something that should expand into the existing low-cost flats so we can rebrand things. And I think although we had a number of findings and we didn't get to discuss all of them here today, I think what is very crucial is that in the end of the day, all accommodation by every resident in Malaysia should be maintained to a decent standard of living so that everyone has a safe, comfortable home to go back to at the end of the day, so that everyone gets to live a decent life, you know, with a comfortable atmosphere around them. I think that's the very least we can do for our society. That's something we need to do for our bottom 40%, especially. The richer ones have many options where they want to stay, what kind of properties they want to live in. But a lot of people in the bottom 40% have no choice. They need to go to the flats allocated to them. So I think it comes down to our duty as society and as government to put in place systems to manage them so that they are comfortable, safe living environments for everyone.
Thank you very much, Rajiv. We've been speaking with Rajiv Rishikaran, Bukit Gasing State Assemblyman. We've been discussing the maintenance of low-cost flats today on Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.